Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MLS UK show, Stoppage Time. I'm Henry Hewitt, and as always, I'm joined by...
Elliot Holman. I've managed to stay in the country. What's going on here?
Yeah, me and Poppy have took a trip to Spain. Just a little break. You know, MLS got too much for us with all the action and the drama. But I'm here in Spain, and Elliot, you're there in the world famous now... MLS UK show studio.
Yes. Oh, what a moment that was. I loved it in here Saturday night. You wouldn't understand because you've given up on MLS and gone on holiday, but I was in here Saturday night. We've got the three screens in here which you normally see behind us on the podcast, and I had Atlanta on one, Orlando on the other, and then in the middle MLS 360, and I took a picture, put it on Twitter, and then the next thing I knew, it was on Apple TV. Like, what's going on? And everyone was messaging me. I wish I'd have put a bit more effort into the picture now. Got the logo in, you know?
Yeah, everyone was messaging you. Apart from one person, that was me, who I'd had too many sangrias in the day and couldn't stay up. And then I woke up, suddenly my phone was like... my phone actually had lost charge. I forgot to charge it up. Charged up in the morning, and it was going buzz, 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 buzz. I was like, "What's going on here?" And it's you just going, "Henry, wake up!"
I'm like, "Come on! How are you missing?" I was like, part of me thought you might be watching stupidly because you know you do an MLS podcast. But then I was like, "Oh, he's obviously not awake." And then I sent you the video of it anyway. I like rewound it, took a video, sent him the video. Nothing. I was like, "Oh, wow." But the rest of America and Canada saw it, so that's good.
Well, that's our target audience, that and the hardly souls who stay up in the UK as well. But we're going to be talking about MLS in a moment. I just want to ask, though, first of all, have you seen the new series of Ted Lasso? It started.
This is really awkward. I haven't seen any Ted Lasso, and I know that's sacrilege.
I thought you'd watch the first two series.
No, I have no reason either. I really want to watch it. I've had Apple TV Plus for years. I've got no reason why I haven't. I don't know. I just haven't got around to watching it. I want to persuade Bryony to watch it with me, and a lot of her friends watch it, which has really helped. So we are like, we've discussed it recently, like even before this new series, like we discussed it, like, oh, we should watch Ted Lasso. Just haven't.
You could argue that you were actually protesting against it. I've seen a lot of people, I'm going to ask you this, I've seen a lot of people on social media, a lot of Americans in particular, who are saying that Ted Lasso is actually doing the US soccer a disservice, and it's actually putting people against it and making fun of it and making them, you know, when they're trying to get respect across the world, it's knocking them back a bit. I mean, you haven't seen the show. I'm sure you've seen little bits and heard about it. Can you understand that, or do you think they're being harsh on themselves?
Yeah, it's funny you mention it, actually, because I actually decided I didn't want to watch it because of that. that's exactly why. Edit that bit in to the first bit, thanks. I do get it. But look, I think here in the UK, we're really good at laughing at ourselves. And I think there's things in the UK, not even sport-related, just in general, that we're not great at. And we're getting better at, and we can laugh about it. And I think same thing with, you know, US soccer. We know for years that people have torn into, US soccer. We know that, like, that's a fact. It doesn't mean that it's not great now. And so I think, you know, I think it's just a little bit of a laugh. I'm actually really looking forward to watching it, even more so now I'm seeing that people are criticizing it. Because we know our feelings, we're honest about it. We're the Brits who love MLS, and it feels like at times we're the only people in the world. But you know, especially in Europe. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. I don't buy into that.
Yeah, it was funny. We had a comment on our TikTok this week just saying, like, why do you watch MLS and not the Prem? And like, you can't just watch one league. We do watch multiple leagues. We watch the Premier League as well. But yeah, I can understand, to be honest. I mean, someone who watched it, you know, I can understand why they would think that. But I mean, for me, Ted Lasso is a way of introducing soccer and introducing, in particular, like what's happening in Europe and in England, you know, with the biggest league in the world. It's about introducing that to a US audience. Of course, Jason Sudeikis is a big actor in the States. And, you know, I think he's done a great job of doing that. And saw they're even in the White House this week. So, yeah, it's for me, it's getting soccer into a more mainstream audience. I can understand why, you know, US soccer fans are a bit disheartened by it and think it is knocking them back. And I know then when Jesse Marsh started in the Premier League, there were comparisons to Ted Lasso there. But come on, you know, lighten up. It's a good show. It's entertaining. And as people who love MLS, or as a person, because you've not seen it, as who loves MLS in this country, in the UK, no, I think it's great. And it's not made me think any differently to US soccer fans. We see a lot of them on our social media. We watch Apple TV as well. So we know that you guys in the States, the educated ones, know you know you know a lot about soccer.
Yeah, I look, we're all here. You're listening to this podcast because you love MLS as much as we do. And we've had loads of great comments this season of people discovering the podcast for the first time. You know what we're about. You know our views on the league. I think we can enjoy Ted Lasso. We can enjoy MLS. Let's draw a line under it. I'll actually bother to watch it at some point as well. That'll help.
Right, well, let's move on to the Stoppage Time episode then. For those who don't know, and there won't be many of you, because our last Stoppage Time episode last week was our highest rated show on YouTube. So thanks very much if you've seen that. You know, we are actually getting, so far this season, higher views on Stoppage Time episodes than our main episodes. I promise you that isn't the reason why we've done another one this week. It is literally because I'm in Spain. But what we do on this episode is we have a look at the three or four biggest talking points in MLS and discuss them in a bite-sized version of MLS UK show. Now, we would normally be doing a main episode this week where we go through the matches from the weekend. So because we're not, the first talking point this week should be just a round-off of some of the matches that did happen this last weekend and another eventful weekend in MLS. First of all, we give apology to them last week, Elliot. St. Louis, they've done it. 4 wins out of 4 at the start of the season.
Yeah, most successful expansion side in MLS history. Do you know what? We gave them credit last week, and you know that. We did our apology. I still think it's okay for us to say it's going to take a while for us to see their identity. Because I think, especially, you know, the goal at the weekend, it just seemed like just brute force and commitment, drive forward, get the shot away. I'm looking forward to seeing how this continues. I think we all are. We're all fascinated by it. But from a real geeky soccer point of view, I want to drill down. What's the plan? What's the style of play? I'm really excited to see where they are in 10 games time, because this is on LAFC, Atlanta United levels currently.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, they've surprised us all with how well they've done. I noticed some of the comments on our YouTube video last week was actually saying that, you know, saying thanks for appreciating St. Louis, and even the fans were shocked by the start they've had. And yeah, they're developing that identity. And as you said last week, it's an identity that a lot of teams are struggling to play against. How they'll do later in the season when teams are becoming used to that, we'll have to wait and see. But for now, it's been a great start. You know, you look at the home games and think, yeah, probably should have won those two. But the away wins in Austin and Portland have been fantastic. And I look forward to seeing how long this will last and how St. Louis will do. You know, if they can get enough points on the board in this first half of the season before League's Cup. And if anyone can hear that, I think the person next door, the Spanish person next door, is doing some DIY, annoyingly. So apologies if there's banging in the background. Or maybe it's Oscar Pereira trying to get out of his press conference. That's the second talking point, looking back at the weekend. I wanted to bring this up. I know we talk a lot about Orlando because you support them, but, you know, I saw this online. He was doing his press conference. A few fans were knocking on and shouting through to him. What do you make of this? Is it harsh?
The criticism isn't harsh. The act is harsh. There's no need for that. you know, we all have our views. My criticism of Pareja is even I feel harsh about it because the guy's done a good job, but I just think the club has grown a lot since he joined. Part of that is down to him, of course. But I do think in terms of the roster that the front office have got together last season and especially this season, it's hard to have any excuses. It really is. This is one of the best rosters in the whole of MLS, not just in the Eastern Conference. So questions will be asked because questions were being asked last season. Haven't started well. Put in a good show in the Champions League. And I think the Champions League, the CCL excuse, kind of bails him out for now. So we'll see where we are in a couple of months. But yeah, you don't need to be storming the press conference. That's just stupidity. But I certainly understand the frustrations.
You were very optimistic at the start of the season. Is that still there, or are these first four games? Well, you've not done badly. You know, the weekend was a poor result, but you've not done badly on the whole. Are you still optimistic, or has that dwindled a little bit?
I'm still fairly optimistic because I think this roster has the ability to put a run together. The CCL is a huge factor in this. We've seen it with Philly, we've seen it with Vancouver, we've seen it with Austin, even LAFC, you know, drawing at the weekend. I think it's a definite factor. Orlando aren't in it anymore. They drew the toughest team in the whole competition. They put up a really good fight in CCL. We just haven't seen that in MLS yet. So, you know, it gets time in my book, but I was quick to jump on the Pareja out last season because I wasn't impressed. We weren't good at home. We're still not good at home. So yeah, let's see where we are in a couple of months.
Well, I take no pleasure in you, in Orlando losing and you being disheartened, I've got to say, even though Atlanta are top of the conference and won 5-1 at the weekend. I think I've got to, we apologised to St. Louis last week. I think my apology this week has got to be to my own boys, Atlanta. I was very, you were optimistic. I was not, to say the least, not optimistic. Finishing seventh would have been a good season. And no, we've started the season terrifically well, 5-1 against Portland. An awesome free kick from Almeida. Everything's going right for Atlanta at the moment. Can you see anything in that, or is it difficult for you to acknowledge it because Orlando got beat?
6 years in, and listen, he's still got so much glee in his voice when he says that. No, I messaged you and told you Atlanta were fantastic because I watched it. Of course, I actually support them more than you do. And I think they were fantastic. They did go 1-0 down. Questionably, that goal was chalked off, let's be honest. However, it was one of the only cross-conference games. Portland travelled a huge distance to Atlanta. It's a massive factor in MLS. It's a fact. If they were turning over Columbus, Orlando, Miami, fair enough. But I think travel's a huge factor. But Atlanta are they're a good side this year. I told you that. You didn't believe me. I stand by that. Do I think they win the conference? No, but there's no way they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think I needed to see them. You know, seeing Giakoumakis, for example, on Saturday, I mean, what a header that was to score. And he looks like he's going to be very busy up front. To me, they just look like they're enjoying themselves. It was exhibition football. You know, it was that Giakoumakis goal where, you know, there were two or three long-range passes. And it just looked like an exhibition game. It was brilliant to see. And great to see Atlanta getting back to the Atlanta that we know. And, shades of where they were and where we were two or three years ago with the likes of Martinez and Almiron. So, it's a big effort because that team did win MLS Cup. And I'm like you, do I think they're going to win MLS Cup? Probably not. But from here and the start they've had and the way they're playing, you've got to fancy playoffs. I think it would be a huge drop if they didn't. And whereas last season they lost a lot of players to injury, hopefully these big players can stay fit. The last game I want to talk about, the last team I want to talk about recapping the weekend is LA Galaxy. It's not been quite the start to the season that I'm sure fans would have hoped. I know a lot of stuff is being said off the pitch Saw Eli from This Week in MLS on the Cooligans the other day. He was talking about Chris Klein and how it's not quite working out. What from your point of view, obviously we're on the outside, we're not LA Galaxy fans, but what is going wrong there at the moment?
Do you know what? I think they were unlucky to draw the game at the weekend. Created so many chances, had the ball cleared off the line. It was their first home game, of course. And I wouldn't be worried at this point, if I'm honest. Home form's where it's at. That's why I'm concerned about Orlando, of course. And I think their performance was great. When they were 1-0 down, I messaged my mate and I said, look, you've got to get on, Vancouver not to win this game, because LA Galaxy are all over them. And the goal followed pretty soon after, because I didn't see Vancouver with the ball in the LA half after they scored. So, I wouldn't be too concerned at this point.
Yeah, well, I watched the highlights of the game on Saturday. And I think, yeah, they had two goals disallowed. The second one for Jokvacic was harsh, I've got to say. But, you know, I think what worried me for LA Galaxy is the fact that on the highlights, there was that moment there in the 76th minute and then nothing else after that. You know, the last 15 minutes of a game where they're at home, they should be beating Vancouver, and there's nothing in the highlights to say that they even had any chances. So that would be disappointing. It just felt a bit flat for me, watching that. You know, the fans are obviously upset at the moment. I think that's rubbing off on the whole place. And it's a shame, because we did expect a bit more from LA Galaxy this year on the pitch anyway. And hopefully they can get that sorted and push on for them. But yeah, I think the start of the season, okay, LAFC was postponed, but the way LAFC are playing, you'd probably thought that they would have won that. And then defeats, you know, one defeat against Dallas, and then SKC and Vancouver draws. It's probably not been good enough for LA Galaxy at the moment. Right, we're going to talk now about some of the other talking points in MLS this week. And first of all, this hasn't been confirmed yet, but strong rumours that the MLS All-Star Game this year will be against Arsenal in DC in July. We've had 2 years of playing Liga MX, and now they're going back to the European Super Clubs. What do you think, Elliot? Are you excited for this one?
Yeah, the European clubs for me are where it's at. I know we're here in the UK. I understand that that's probably a biased view. Let me know if you think I'm wrong or if you agree. I haven't even watched the last couple. I don't have a feeling on these Mexican teams. We already have the League's Cup and whatever, where we're sort of fabricating this rivalry with Mexico. So we don't need the All-Star game to also be against a Mexican team. This is really nice. Arsenal have got a huge chance to win the Premier League and then come straight over to DC, I believe, Audi Field, and play an MLS All-Star team. It's great for us. It's great for the league. It's going to be a great game to watch. This is fantastic news.
Yeah, I agree. I was buzzing when I heard about it. You know, I know a lot of people, especially MLS sort of pundits, have had mixed feelings. I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was, so apologies for that, but I did see somebody say that this is a no-win situation for MLS, because, yeah, if they beat Arsenal, they've beaten Arsenal, but if they lose, then it means that the best players in this league can't beat, another team. Which I can understand that. I think it's a bit harsh because, you know, these players haven't really played with each other. They're playing against each other every week. So, you know, to get that team cohesion will be a bit difficult. But I can understand what they're saying. And, I also saw a few people saying, well, why don't we go back to the East versus West, which I actually think is a very good idea. And that would be very interesting to see. But on the whole, from me, yeah, I know we're from the UK. I know English bias, maybe. But, I can't wait to see Arsenal play, MLS All-Star team and see how they do. And I think it is a challenge. You know, if Arsenal do win the Premier League, they'll be on top form. They'll be the team to beat. So it'd be interesting to see if they can do that.
It's also the day after my baby's due date. So this could be the first game that we get to watch together. So fingers crossed it arrives in time and I can get home. And I'm sure it won't be crying at all and it'll all be fine and really easy. And I can just sit and watch the All-Star game.
Well, in that case, then, let's move on to the next talking point. And it's a man who will be back in England by the time your baby's born, then, if it comes on its due day. Lewis O'Brien has signed for DC United. He has signed a loan deal until July 16th. Now, there's a bit of a story behind this one. Lewis O'Brien signed for Nottingham Forest amongst the 10 million other players that signed for him in the summer. Has not managed to hold down a first team place. He was going to go out on loan to Blackburn Rovers in the Championship in January. The paperwork didn't go through in time, and then he was stuck in limbo because Nottingham Forest had submitted their roster and he wasn't in it. So he's been kind of looking for something to do for the last few months, and DC have given him a call. Wayne Rooney gave him a call and said, come play for us until July 16th. Now, there is a clause in it to say that DC can buy him if they want to and if the deal's right. But this guy was a very good player for Huddersfield in the Championship, Elliot. Do you think he'll do well in MLS?
Yeah, it could take him a while to get going for the reasons that you've just outlined. But clearly a top talent in the Championship. I've been used to my team, Norwich, kind of dominating in the Championship the last couple of years. And he was somebody that always stood out to me, you know, when you're playing, when he's on the opposition. I think somebody who, was matching the level of some of the players at Norwich who were hitting, 20 goals a season, 20 assists a season. So, I'm glad for him that he gets a solution for a start to what's been going on. I think once he gets going, working with Wayne is a huge, huge thing for a lot of British players. And I hope he hits the ground running in MLS. And obviously, we'd love to keep him. We don't want him going back to Forest and sitting on the bench, or not even making the bench. So we'd love to get him into MLS and keep him. And maybe, just maybe, he will feature on the Anton Walks game with a changing name.
Yeah, maybe. He needs to make one appearance at least. So hopefully he'll do that. I felt sorry for him. And that wasn't just because he almost played for Blackburn Rovers. It's because of the situation. And, he went to Nottingham Forest, a difficult situation where he was competing with a lot of other players for them spots. And then they signed more players in January. So it was tough for him. So he's not really played at all this season. And I think in those situations, the players just need a bit of a change. He could have signed back in the Championship and he's going back to the league that he knows well. But I think for him, going to a new country, getting away from it all, for the next 4 or 5 months will be great for him and experiencing a new league. And, I think we've said before, with Championship players, League One players in England, that sometimes you have a choice. You can either stick around in those leagues and just go from team to team, or like Johnny Russell has and Bradley Wright Phillips did, you can actually go live in America, live this great life, and then be in a league where you're competing for championships and playing in CONCACAF Champions Leagues and then potentially the World Club Championship, which you wouldn't do if you were playing for the likes of Blackburn or Nottingham Forest or Huddersfield. So, yeah, fingers crossed for him, it works out. And, DC need that bit of oomph. I know they narrowly got beat at the weekend, so they need something, and hopefully he will provide that. Right, last on the agenda for this episode of Stoppage Time is TikTok. MLS have teamed up with TikTok, and I cannot wait to see, some of the players, or old players, Nick Raimondo doing TikTok dances maybe, the MLS season pass guys, or Taylor Twellman, doing his stuff on there. I think it should be very entertaining.
Yeah, we're going to rename him TikTok Raimondo. I hope this stands us in good stead. You know how TikTok are very specific with their algorithms and what works. If they've struck a deal with MLS, we've already got the MLS UK show on TikTok. So first of all, quick cheeky plug, make sure you go and give us a follow. Hopefully everybody's gonna be seeing more of the stuff we do as well. I think stuff like this is important. Look, the MLS have taken a massive step forward in terms of marketing. They're doing everything correct. You know, from the Apple TV deal to some of the smaller stuff. If you remember when we first started out, they invited us to the Rivalry Week event they had in London, and Frank Lampard was there. And you know, they do good stuff like this, and they're really rocketing forward. So anything like this is fantastic. We all know TikTok is exactly where everything is going. So spot on, really good move. I believe it's a fantastic move.
Yeah, and I think what's exciting is as well is that there's going to be an MLS hub where it's got, you know, like videos and clips and stuff like that for content creators. So, you know, it could introduce, you know, these people on there who perhaps are watching the Premier League or other European leagues, you know, to dip in the toe in the MLS water. And, you know, I think that would be great because I think as many MLS content creators as they are, you know, even more, and just spreading the word will be fantastic. And I think this deal, along with the Apple TV deal, I know TikTok branding will be all over the stadiums as well. Yeah, I think it'll be really, really beneficial and really great for the league. So I can't wait to see, you know, what it provides.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I probably will step back from doing any of the dances unless we're going to see the likes of Chicha, maybe Martinez, you know, getting involved, setting the trends, then I'll jump on board.
What a thought to go out on. Right, well, that's it from us. Thanks very much for watching or listening. Don't forget, if you're on YouTube, give us a subscribe and click the notification bell as well and give us a like. We're on 900 subscribers now. I think we're only on 650 or 600 at the start of the season, so that's really pushing up. So yeah, we're really thankful for all you new subscribers, as well as our regular listeners and viewers who are coming back. If you are listening on your podcast provider, then there's one rule and one rule only when it comes to the ratings, Elliot.
It's LA Galaxy style. 5 stars only. I've really enjoyed seeing these coming in. So keep them coming. I love reading them, and I've loved seeing your comments as well. So I know we highlighted how much we get an email every time someone comments, and I actually really enjoy reading it. So keep those coming. Thank you. Come and say hi.
Yeah, so in the UK football podcast charts, we talked about it a few weeks ago. We said we were just behind Jamie Carragher. I can confirm we are now above Jamie Carragher's podcast.
Yes.
We're number 36. So yeah, thank you for getting us up the ladder in the UK football soccer pace. Right, well, that's it from us. We'll be back next week with another episode of MLS UK Show. But for now, I've been Henry Hewitt,
and I've been Elliot Holman.
See ya.
Podcast Network.